And you've tuned to Radio Havana, Cuba. Thanks for joining us on the international shortwave radio frequencies of Radio Havana, Cuba. And today we have the pleasure of, in our studio, Joanna Tablada, who is the Deputy Director of the U.S. Desk at the Cuban Foreign Ministry. How are you, Joanna? Good to see you. Thank you for joining us here at Radio Havana, Cuba.
Thank you for such a welcome. I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for the opportunity. Talking in Radio Havana, Cuba.
We just finished an on-air forum in Spanish, upstairs in our Spanish department area there. And we had the opportunity to talk with you, and you talking with our international audience in Spanish, live for several hours, along with Ramon Labanino, one of the Cuban Five, many others that participated in the online forum. Very educational activity, and we wanted to bring you here in our studio to do a little bit in English about what you talked about. It was mainly on the blockade, the U.S. blockade policy, the recent implementation of Title III of the Helms-Burton Law, and some of the things I think that you said were very interesting, very important to emphasize, particularly on this day, July the 4th, which is the, quote, Independence Day of the United States. And the implementation of all of these policies is really against the real independence of Cuba, the sovereignty of the small Caribbean island nation.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, if we mentioned the 4th of July, I would like to extend also congratulations to the people of the United States for their National Day. Mm-hmm. And definitely the policy of Cuba is very much linked to that concept, independence. In fact, it is difficult to understand how a country that values so much their independence and sovereignty will do to others, such as Cuba, what they won't allow others do to themselves. I always tell my children, do not treat others the way that you would like to be treated. With the respect that we have for U.S. history in terms of fighting for their rights, we have difficulty understanding. And in fact, the base of this campaign that is going on in Cuba is no nos entendemos. We do not understand each other. If you're going to come with more pressure, if you're going to come with interference in our domestic affairs, if you're going to come with cutting the sources of revenues of an entire population in order for you to impose a domination political project, then we do not understand each other. And this is all about Helms-Burton purpose. The Helms-Burton legislation then and now, back in 1996 and today in 2019, when the law already was what you would consider in U.S. the law of the land in the policy towards Cuba or against Cuba, because it's not a very friendly legislation, but all opposite. Is a legislation that put together for the very first time, like codifying in stone, what it was the main decisions that had to deal with punishment against a sovereign nation, from the famous CAR, the Cuban Asset Regulations, from the state of the Treasury and the Trade Department, together with some of the main legislation that gave some power to several U.S. presidents to impose coercive measures against Cuba, all of them came together in 1996. And since then, just Congress should lift the embargo or the blockade against Cuba, with some exceptions, because it is true also that in their body, the Helms-Burton established exception at many of their articles, saying you cannot do that to Cuba, for example, trading, or you won't export to Cuba. That's another extraterritorial piece of more than 20% of American component, of more of 20% of Cuban component in any product that U.S. will buy. It's very comprehensive. It's very wide in their scope in order to really cover everything that could great havoc in Cuba, and that could put in a very difficult situation the Cuban economy. That is very, it's not just illegal in front of the international law. Some people will find in that language genocide articles. That's illegal, but at the same time, it's immoral. And it is immoral to punish another country just because you don't like their government. But it is; those are decisions that rightfully belong to the Cubans to take. Who is your president? Which is your kind of government? Which are the institutions? Like U.S. did, for example, in a day like today, you have to remember the brand new U.S. Constitution at the time, the right to design the American institution, where we were prevented to do that in such an early stage as 1898, when Cubans fought after 30 years fighting against the Spanish, and we were finally won that war. U.S. intervened and did not leave Cuba, occupied Cuba for years, and did not leave Cuba till they already have control of our main resources, natural resources, our best lands. 70% of the lands of Cuba, of the best lands of Cuba, were in U.S. hands. And also some control of our political institution, and our brand new constitution had that, it could be the mother of the Helms-Burton de Platt Amendment, exactly, that established the right of U.S. to intervene in Cuba militarily, as they did, and they show up, exactly. if they consider that American interest was. So this is what we are watching again. This U.S. government today, it's going back in history. They are talking of the Monroe Doctrine again, and not just talking, they are enforcing, exactly, or trying to enforce, because it's important to tell to our audience right now that it is absolutely impossible that this policy will succeed. Mm-hmm. We have 60 years that shows that no matter how much pressure, that no matter how much threats, that no matter how much difficult economic situations you could impose into a sovereign nation of Cuba, it will not put the Cubans on our needs. And definitely it will not take not even the support of the international community that already know what's going on. Exactly. And they have been voting consecutive for 27 years exactly asking U.S. to do the opposite. Leave the blockade to Cuba. This is illegal. This is immoral. It goes against international law. And they recognize, of course, our nationalization process that is the pretext for this moment. The Helms-Burton is not a legislation that protects American companies that were affected by our nationalization. Our law, 151, did establish compensation or the possibility to establish a negotiation in order to compensate. It was made to the inheritance of the Batista tyranny. Cubans that at the moment were beneficiated by the Batista government, they gave as a payment for the service to a tyranny that killed many Cubans and tortured many Cubans, assets. And those assets are treated at Helms-Burton with the same rights as Americans that had legitimate interests in Cuba, and that, according to our legislation, are completely entitled to be beneficiated if we establish, like we did with Canada and United Kingdom and Spain, a sum lump agreement in order to reach a figure and compensate the affected. So it has nothing to do. We have a government that every day will put forward a pretext that has no real connection with their actions. That happens to be sanctions and pressures to punish Cuba to be precisely independent and sovereign, and to develop our sovereign project. Thank you.
And as you said, the negotiations were going on for a time with many of these other countries. It was the United States that refused to negotiate for compensation for nationalized completely under international law, Cuban law and international law. It was the United States that refused and still refuses to actually recognize the sovereignty of our country here in Cuba. We're talking with Joanna Tablada, who is the Deputy Director of the U.S. Desk at the Cuban Foreign Ministry, a very important mission, of course, going on with what now has to be recognition of Cuba and the respect that Cuba has for the people of the United States, which has always been that line between the U.S. government and the U.S. people. And we continue to have that kind of solidarity recently now with Pastors for Peace coming here and the many other solidarity groups that continue to express their support of the Cuban people. Joanna, I know you have to leave. We want to thank you once again for coming here to our studios, the English Language Department at Radio Havana, Cuba, and the door is always open for you to come whenever you have a little extra time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity again. And, of course, I agree with you that this is a policy that is harming also Americans. We will never give up in defending our right to have a civilized, respectful relation with the United States. It's not Cuba who's closing the door for Americans to visit. It's not Cuba who's closing the door for Cubans to visit the U.S. It's not Cuba who's closing the door for scientific, official, or environmental and educational exchange. It's the other way around, but Cuba will continue to be open and working and, of course, defending our right to be free, to be independent, to build our future. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.